Since the creations of the world, God's invisible quality has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We cannot say, oh, I don't know God's power, I don't know God's nature, because God has already revealed it to us. Now in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says the same thing. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. I want to just take a look at what the Old Testament teaching and take a look at what the New Testament teaching, so that we have a deeper understanding what Paul trying to say, instead of using human word to explain God's word. And then in verse 2, now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness lead you towards repentance? Could you do me a favor? Take a look at the life of Judah in Genesis chapter 38. Judah's wife was passed away, and then he go from one place to another place. Somehow he met a prostitute, and not realizing that prostitute is his daughter-in-law. Do you remember this incident? And then Judah later on committed adultery with that so-called prostitute. Okay? And later on, a few months later, people tell Judah, your daughter-in-law has become a prostitute, and now she was pregnant with three months, something like that. And then Judah heard about that. Judah passed judgment on her. Say that. Bring her out. Stone her to death. Okay? And will you please take a look at that? Genesis chapter 38. And then the Bible say, Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death, not stoned to death, burned to death. And then verse 25, as she was being brought out, Tamar sent a message to her father-in-law. I am pregnant by the man who owned this, she said. And she added, see if you recognize who seal and cord and staff these are. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I would not give her to my son Shelah, and he did not sleep with her again. Now I want to go back. Could you do me a favor? Write that down. Write down before, right beside Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. You write down Genesis chapter 38. I would like you to read the whole story. I'm just giving you the example. The Bible say, you, a mere man, you pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same thing. Judah saying that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, commit adultery, deserve to die and to be burned to death, and yet he himself commit adultery. Can he escape judgment? He cannot. Because he said, bring her out and burn her to death. And he want to expose her wickedness. In the end, his own wickedness was exposed. He said with his own word, she is more righteous than I am. But say, is that mean that he confessed his sin? Right? He confessed his sin and he was forgiven. But when he judged the other, and yet you do the same thing, you condemning yourself. So brother and sister, based upon this incident, don't pass judgment on anyone if you do the same thing. So if you pass judgment, make sure you are upright. Okay, take a look at, will you do me a favor, go to Ezekiel. When God called Ezekiel, Ezekiel used to be a priest. In chapter 1, verse 3. And later on, God called him in chapter 2, verse 5. Called him to be the prophet. But when God called him to be the prophet, God want his prophet to be upright. In other words, when you preach the word of God to the other people, make sure that you don't do what they do. Don't do what they do. Otherwise, when you pass judgment on the people of God, and yet you yourself do it, you are in deep trouble. I don't care whether you are father-in-law, you are the father. When you pass judgment on your children, and yet you do the same thing, you will be judged. Now I go to another. When I give example, I want you people to learn. In the future, when you teach people lesson or teaching Sunday school, sometimes if you choose the example, make sure that you have two or three witnesses. Make sure that another pastor, another preacher say the same thing so that you know what you're saying is correct. Take a look at the life of David. Will you please turn to 2 Samuel? I read you the story, 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 1. So do me a favor. In Romans chapter 2, you write down Genesis chapter 38, and then you write down 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man has a very large number of sheep and cattle. But the poor man has nothing except one little ewe lamb he has brought. He raised it and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who has come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belongs to the poor man and prepared for the one who has come to him. Verse 5, take a look at how David, he's the king of Israel. He judged the rich man. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, I want you to stop here and write something. When you hear a sermon when you hear teaching from God, when you hear a Sunday school teacher teaching you something, don't be quick to judge other people. You hear the story, you examine your own mind. I want you to write that down. You examine your heart, examine your mind. Because the lesson that you are learning today is not for you to judge other people. You hear God's word is so as to examine your mind. Just like in the morning when you look at the mirror, you don't say, oh, that guy, you know, think of another guy, that guy looked very ugly. You look at the mirror, you look at yourself. Is there anything that you have to fix? You fix it. I heard someone say, oh, I wish so-and-so attend this morning worship because he can hear what Pastor John say, because that guy need that, I don't need it. You are passing judgment. When you're reading the scripture, you are reading the scripture just between you and God, no other people around. Does it make sense? So, when David heard the story, he didn't know that the story talked about him. He thought that this story talked about something else. That's why David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserved to die. And he must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and has no pity. Nathan is very courageous. He was sent by God to what? He was sent by God to take the risk of his life to judge David. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I anointed you king over Israel, and I deliver you from the hand of Saul. I gave you master house to you, and your master wife into your arm. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this has been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonite. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord said. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you, because your very eyes, before your very eyes, I will take your wife and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. And you did it in secret, and I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Take a look at what David said in verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Do me a favor, write down right beside here, you write down Psalm 32, you write down Psalm 51. He confessed his sins. He did not give any excuse. Just like Judah, the father-in-law confessed his sins before all other people and saying that she is more righteous than I am. Once David confessed his sins, knowing that he has sinned against the Lord, Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin because you confess it. You are not going to die." I want you to write that down. You are not going to die. Take a look at what David has said when he was burned with anger. He said, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserved to die. But the Lord spared him, saying that you are not going to die." Right beside verse 13, "You are not going to die," you write down chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 5. He said that he is going to die. But the Lord said, he's not going to die. So what does it really mean? Write that down. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, you write down verse 10. "The Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve. The Lord does not repay us according to our iniquity." According to what David has said, "As surely as the Lord lives," that means he swear by making this statement, "the man who did this deserved to die." The reason why he passed this kind of judgment, because he did not realize he is the man. Do you see what I'm seeing now, brother and sister? When he make the judgment, he did not see that he is the man. So, when he confessed his sin, then the Bible says, "The Lord does not treat us as our sin deserve," because he deserved to die. Now, the Lord does not treat him as his sin deserve. He deserved to die. But the Lord say, "Because you confess your sins, I forgave your sin, and then you are not going to die." I say it again. He said, "You deserve to die." And then God say, "You're not going to die because you confess your sin." Is it good to confess your sin? Brother and sister, is it good? Listen to me one thing. When you read the scripture, every statement that you read, you find out that God is judging you, you stop reading it, you bow down and say, "Lord, I am the man. I have sins against you. And I deserve to die." But I heard that you're saying to David, "You're not going to die." And I know that you doesn't show favoritism. You are impartial God. "Would you please forgive me the way that you forgive David?" Then you have worshiped God. Then you understand the scripture. Does it make sense? Brother and sister, I say it one more time. When you go to the church to listen to a sermon or attend Sunday school, don't be quick to pass any judgment based upon your knowledge. Otherwise, you are condemning who? Hello? You're condemning yourself. All right? If Judah is quick to make judgment, if David is quick to make judgment, don't ever say to me that you are better than Judah and David. We are all in the what? Same boat. Everybody say? Does it make sense? So don't pass judgment. But then, I want you to take a look at Psalm 99, Verse 8. O Lord our God, you answer us. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeed. Superficially, there is a contradiction between Psalm 99 verse 8 versus Psalm 103 verse 10. Could you put the two screens together? You know what? If you try to explain God's word using your own mind, you are out of your mind. You have to explain God's word with God's word, then you can understand. Otherwise, you say, you know what? Isn't that I heard the Pastor John say that I deserve to die and yet I'm not going to die? That means the Lord do not treat us as our sin deserve, right? And then later on, I see Psalm 99 verse 8. Although you are forgiving God to the Israelite, to David, to Judah, and yet you punish their sin. So what does it really mean? Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I explain to you. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, is the wife of the Hittite, Uriah, secretly. But the Lord called his son, Absalom, to commit adultery with David's concubine. 10 concubines in front of all Israelites. You despise God, God gonna despise you. Does it make sense? He commit adultery with one husband's wife, right? Bathsheba, and kill his husband. But you know how many sons has been put to death? 4 sons. David say, go back to chapter 12. And David say, the man who did this deserved to die. Verse 6, he must pay for the lamb 4 times over because he did such thing and have no pity. I want to circle the word 4 times, right beside 4 times. You write down. The first son die is the one in chapter 12. Was 14. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord so utter contempt, the son born to you will die. This is the number one. Number two, chapter 13. The name called Amnon. Amnon commit adultery with Tamar. This Tamar is the same name as Judah's daughter-in-law, but it's not the same person, okay? This is a beautiful lady. Tamar is the daughter of Absalom, okay? Amnon commit adultery with Tamar. Absalom really upset, slaughter him, kill him. His second son died. Third son, you write down. Chapter 14 and 15, Absalom was put to death, the third one. Who is the fourth one? You go to First King, chapter 1, Adonijah. Okay? Adonijah was put to death. All these 4 sons, except the first one. Okay? Except the first one, he didn't sin and didn't do anything sins against God. But just that, you take someone's wife and put to death to her husband, and the Lord want him to know there's a consequences. Although the Lord forgave him, and David say, that man deserved to die. But the Lord said to him, because you confess your sin, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. That means the Lord do not treat us as our sin deserve, right? But still, four son has to be put to death. Is that what he say? Pay four times? Don't be so quick to saying something. You think that you are a sharp guy. You better watch out. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Okay? When you read the scripture, make sure that you are in that passage. You see yourself, and then you confess your sin. When you confess your sin, you have no time to judge other people because you yourself are in deep trouble. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? You know what? When you read scripture, and you don't meditate, you thought you understand. Most of the time, we don't understand. Until we search the scripture as if we're making money, then you start to fear God. That's exactly what Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5 saying. We cry out to God for understanding, cry out to God for insight. Lord, help me. I don't quite understand why you mention about this portion of the scripture. What are you trying to teach me? The Lord trying to teach us, do not pass judgment on other people because you are just a mere man. He didn't say that, oh, because you are the prophet, then you can do it. King David is a prophet. King David is a king. He passed judgment, he faced judgment himself. Does it make sense? Only who can pass judgment? Only God can pass judgment. Okay, now I make this statement. I have to explain also, because I know if you are sharp, you may remember one incident. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul makes judgment to the adulterous person who commit adultery with his father's wife, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Paul said, I pass judgment on you. Kick that person out. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man had his father's wife. A man has his father's wife. You write down 1 Kings chapter 1. Adonijah, that is the one. He tried to have a King David's wife. Okay? He deserved to die when he make this kind of a decision. Okay? And then you are proud. Soon you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this. Verse 3. Even though I am not physically present, and I am with you in spirit, and I have already circled the word. I have already passed judgment. I want you to write that down. Isn't it Roman was written before 1 Corinthians? I think 1 Corinthians was written before Romans, okay? But no matter what, when we read the Bible, we're supposed to read Romans first, right? And then we read 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 2, Paul spelled it out very, very clearly. You are just a mere man. Do not pass any judgment on any other person. Whether you're father-in-law, pass judgment on daughter-in-law. Whether you're a king, pass judgment on the story that who of the rich man. I don't care whether you're a prophet. I don't care whether you're a pastor. But in this incident, it looks like Paul did something that contradicts himself. I read that verse 3 again. And I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. Verse 4. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord is present. hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast and that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all, meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or the swindler, or the adulterer. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who call himself a brother and yet take his father's wife. Who call himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an adulterer or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler, with such a man, do not even eat. So what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. I want you to write that down right beside 5:13. You write down 14:37. Paul later on saying that, I'm writing, all my writing is the Lord's command. In other words, it is not Paul who is expelling him. Who is expelling him? Eh? The Lord. The Lord is expelling him. Brother and sister, do you know why a lot of people from the church, they split the church, and then they judge the pastor, they judge this, judge that, saying that, why are you doing this? Isn't the Bible say, don't do this? Brother and sister, if the thing that you don't understand, just pause it, stop it, think about that, search the scripture, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And you will find the truth. Two days ago, I received an email from someone in U.S., not New York, and he attend another church, and I found out things that he didn't like, and he asked me what to do. A lot of people, they understand the scripture partially, and then make judgment, and then judging other people. Before you speak, make sure you gather all the information. Okay? Otherwise, you are condemning yourself. Paul, in this incident, is not condemning himself. You don't just read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You have to read second chapter of 2 Corinthians. That guy, he was expelled from the church. He was not allowed to commit. He was not allowed to take the Holy Communion. And then he was cast into the hand of Satan. And Satan tortured him. He became sick. And then later on, he turned around. And Paul see that he turned around, received that person, bring him back. Sometimes, you know, you see that, wow, this is what God say. Then you just do it, and later on, you make a mistake. Take a look. Psalm 103, verse 10. Take a look at Psalm 99, verse 8. One Bible say, the Lord does not treat us as our sin deserve. Another Bible say, although He is a forgiving God, He forgave your sin, and yet He will punish you as your sin deserve. Does that make sense? Take a look at David. David say, that man deserved to die. The Lord say, because you confess your sin, you're not going to die. But what you say, you pay four times, yeah, I take it. You pay four times. Okay? If he say, well, he pay one time, then it's better, right? Then he get one son die. Brother and sister, how many people read chapter 12 and then keep on reading chapter 13, keep on reading 14, 15, and then first king, later, wow, man, these four people die. Then you slow to speak. When pastor say to you slow to speak, you slow to speak. Because it costs your life. Your son is so dear to you. Don't let them die because of what you say. That guy, he is always quick to speak. That's why he suffered so much he didn't realize it. He thought that he's the watchman for the church. And he condemning the pastor, condemning all the other elders and all that. I write him a letter, you know, if I were you, I won't do that. I give him the proof. He say, thank you, pastor. But he make the decision already. You understand? That's why people suffer so much. You don't even know. I don't just pick a Bible verse and talk about that. No. I pick a Bible verse. I want to make sure that I interpret correctly. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28, anyone who make a false witness, he will perish. Anyone distort the scripture, he will perish. He will be cursed. I know that. I don't want to be cursed to myself. Okay? I want to make sure I get blessing when I preach the gospel. Go to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28. A false witness will perish. I don't want to give you a false witness to warn you and scare you. No, I'm not. I have no intention to do that, man. All right? Because when I pass judgment, who will be judged? I myself will be judged. Why would I do that? A false witness will perish. And whoever listened to the false witness will be destroyed forever. He died first, and then the other people will die. I want you to write that down, false witness. Who is that guy? Hananiah. Hananiah. You write down Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah say that you will be in exile for 70 years. And Hananiah, he say no, 2 years. Is a false witness. He preached the sermon in May. In July, 2 months later, he struck dead. Don't do that. Why try to destroy yourself? Right? Don't listen to this kind of false witness. You got to study yourself, right? Write down Jeremiah chapter 28. Proverbs 21, 28. You write down Jeremiah chapter 28. That guy, Hananiah, he was put to death because he's a false witness. He tried to deceive people. He tried to kill people. Now he himself be killed 2 months later. When you say something, make sure you know what you're talking about. You know that's exactly what the Lord wants you to say. We are all just a mere man. We are not God. Unless God wants you to say it. From time to time, the Lord wants you to say things, but make sure that you are upright. Make sure you do the right thing. Take a look at Psalm 94. 94:16, the Bible say, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoer?" Could you do me a favor? You write that down. Second Samuel chapter 12. Who take a stand? Nathan take a stand against David. Did Nathan try to destroy David's life or try to save David's life? Hello? Is Nathan trying to destroy David's life, expose his immorality, and make him feel ashamed, or try to save his life? Make sure that you are the man, making sure that you repent and you turn around, right? Is he risking his own life? He may lose his life. You know, if he's King Nebuchadnezzar, he struck dead, man. Do you know who I am? I'm a king. You know, you say things like that in front of everyone. He's risking his life. Brother and sister, I want to make sure that, you know why he say that that man deserved to die, and yet the Lord say, you're not going to die. Because he confessed his sin in Psalm 32. Because he confessed his sin in Psalm 51. You know what's 51 verse 1 trying to say? Go to Psalm 51 verse 1. Psalm 51 verse 1. That's the verse 1. Now come. A psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to David after David has committed adultery with Bathsheba. That is the worst one. But in the Chinese one, it's not in the worst one, in the top. That's the worst one. That's in the context. He wants to make sure that why I'm writing Psalm 51, I commit adultery, but I'm safe. I deserve to die, and yet what? I'm not going to die. Why? Why? Because he repent. Because he confessed his sin. The entire Bible, even the Old Testament talk about repentance. Right? When you repent, then you're spared from dying. You're not going to die. Four boys, they die. Three of them deserve to die. Because their eldest son, Amnon, committed adultery with Absalom. Absalom is the third son, sister. She's your sister. I know it's a different mother, okay? But it's still your sister. You don't do that. He did it. Absalom so angry. You know what happened to Absalom? Absalom thinking that he's the judge, he's the king, and he slaughtered his brother, and then he ran away. You don't kill your brother either. You're not judge, right? So, you know what? If we don't study in detail, how many people study the New Testament and then go back to the Old Testament to find the answer? Very rarely. We don't even think of the Old Testament. We only think, oh, we are in the New Testament. We don't even know what's going on. So that's why a lot of Bible verses we don't understand. Because we don't search intensely as if we search silver and gold. Now we know Absalom, he not only put to death to Amnon, and then he tried to put to death of his father, David. And David loved him so much, tell all his soldiers, spare my son. And yet they don't listen to him. Take his life. Brother and sister, don't take people's life. What did the Bible say? Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill. Okay? You're just a mere man. You don't put to death to the other people. You put to death to the other people, you're going to face the judgment later on. The general put to death to Absalom, later on, he was put to death by who?
by Solomon. And Solomon judged him is by God's power. Solomon judged him by God's power because David commanded him. And one portion of the scripture say, you do not pass judgment. And later on, Solomon passed judgment at the command of God. And one portion say, do not pass judgment. And then later on, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul passing judgment. Am I right? So when we are in the board, when we are in a convent, when we are in a meeting, learn it in the church to be humble, to learn how to deal with God's business. Okay? Make sure we prepare, we live an upright life, confess our own sins, and be merciful, be forgiving, and just like the Lord has forgiven our sins. And it will do you a lot of good. We learn this lesson, and then we put it in our business world, I guarantee you, you're going to get promotion. Because so many people have done things that sins against God, just like what the Bible has written. You learn from someone's mistake, then you be a wise man. I pray that you be successful in your career. Learn from these godly people teaching so that we learn the lesson and don't fall into sins. The final example I talk about, King Saul, when he passed judgment. Chapter 28. King Saul, 1 Samuel, chapter 28. I read you in verse 1. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. At that time, the king of Israel is King Saul. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army, David said. Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Achish replied, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel has mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul has expelled the Midian and Spiritists from the land. Verse 4, the Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem. While Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gibeon, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. In verse 6, he inquired of the Lord. But the Lord did not answer him by dream or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendant, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. In right beside verse 7, so I may go and inquire of her. You write down verse 3. Saul has expelled the medium and spiritists from the land. Saul at that time know the command of God. We don't worship idol, nor do we seek medium or spiritists from the dead. When he prayed to God in the midst of distress, in the midst of trouble and difficulty, he go back and said to his attendant, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. And then his attendant, listen to what his attendant said. There's no one in Endor, they said.
So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. In verse 7, I read that again. Saul then said to his attendant, find me a woman who is a Midian, and so I may go and inquire of her. And then his attendant said, there is one in Endor. Now I want to stop here. Isn't it the Bible clearly stated that Saul has expelled the Midian and Spiritus from the land? If Saul has expelled the mediums and spiritus, that means Saul didn't know where to find a woman who can inquire of the dead people, right? But yes, his attendant say there's one in Endor. Doesn't mean that all his attendant is seeking that kind of meal. Otherwise, you know, let's say, assuming, I just make this statement. Could you get me a cocaine? The congregation said, well, what do you mean get a cocaine? How do I know where to get a cocaine? I don't take cocaine, right? But he said, oh, there's one in there. Man, there's one. You're so quick to answer the question. I mean, you guy, you know. Come on. When a king was struck down, because I want to make sure you know, all his attendants are no good. You write that down. Write down Proverbs 17:4. If you like to hear falsehood, because you yourself are wicked. If you yourself as a king is no good and you're surrounded with all these people are no good because you yourself are no good because you love it. They just give what you like to do. Okay? Then you will be in deep trouble. Okay? Secondly, he expelled the Midian, and later on when he is in deep trouble, he seek Midian. Is he condemning himself? Our Heavenly Father, I heard what you have said. I don't care whether you are king, a good king or bad king. I don't care whether you're father or father-in-law. I don't care whether you're pastor or senior pastor, elder, deacon. I don't care who you are. When you pass judgment, make sure that you don't do the same thing. Otherwise, we are condemning ourselves. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand what you have to say, because there's a price that we have to pay. I know that God is a forgiving God. Sometimes, yet He forgive our sin. Although we deserve to die, He say, yeah, you're not going to die, but you have to pay for the price. Help us to understand that, and help us to be wise. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.